Hello, it's Dana, and this is the Night Terrors Podcast.
Hello, and happy Halloween, everyone. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that this month is almost over with. Today, I'm excited because we have a collaboration I've been working on since before October, and that's with Dark Owl Publishing. Andrea, the publisher who runs it over there, reached out to me and has sent me a wealth of wonderful stories, and I'm really excited to be able to share the first of that collaboration here today. In the show notes, you can find out more about the author and the publishing company, and I suggest you go and support them because everything I've read from them, and there is a lot, has been so entertaining. And I hope you'll enjoy the story that we produce for you today. Speaking of which, today's story is A Drink with the Devil by Jonathan Mast, produced by Jack Burroughs. Enjoy.
Full moon. I hated full moons. They meant I could be tracked, even at night. I'd done everything I could to hide my trail, but it might not matter so much. Not tonight. Full moons also meant the weird stuff came out. I just wanted to get home. I'd followed all the signs back to Hidden Creek, through the Superstition Mountains, keeping to Darren's trail until I sighted the turnoff, through several dry creeks over a few spurs of the mountains. The saguaro loomed over me, staring as I rode past. Jacob, my horse, didn't seem to mind. Nothing much bothered him, unless someone was shooting at us. That tended to bother both of us. Right now, though, it was us, the moon, and the saguaro. His hooves thudded into the rocky ground. It had been a long ride. One last rocky outcropping to turn past, I'd be sight. My heart ached. Home. We turned past the stones. The moon shone down on what should have been Main Street. There should have been Bennett's General Store and the saloon and the schoolhouse and all the other buildings. Especially the little house just past the saloon. This late, everyone should have been in bed, except maybe Bennett counting his change and Harold in the saloon. Maybe a certain woman waiting up for me. But Hidden Creek wasn't so small that the buildings went away at night. At least, it wasn't last time I was here. There were no buildings, no sign of human habitation. Instead, saguaro stood in a circle, like some sort of witch's hoop. They pointed up to the sky, their arms all turned to the center of the circle. Inside, bare shale and the sand of the desert floor shone white in the moon's light, like fresh fallen snow. Jacob stopped at the edge of the circle. He refused to move forward, flicking his ears and not moving a hoof. I crossed myself and unholstered my pistol. My breath was too loud in the silence of the night. Where were the buildings? Where were the people? Where was my Bess? Even if something happened and everyone had to run, there should still be buildings. And Bess would leave some sort of message for me. She'd want me to find her. I dismounted, my eyes scanning the cold-lit hills. More saguaros. Sagebrush. Nothing moved. I stepped to the edge of the circle and crouched, reaching out my hand to touch the ground within. The sand of the desert could shine white, but this seemed to glow. What I felt wasn't the grit of sand. It was soft as flower petals. No, it was flower petals. You're late, my fine fellow. My pistol aimed at the voice faster than I could think. It may have fired a few times too, but but you couldn't tell by the person leaning against the saguaro like it was the corner of the post office. He wore black. Black denim pants, black boots, black shirt, black hat. The white light of the moon seemed to vanish in his clothing. His skin, though, was the bright white of the sand inside the circle. He took a drag off a cigarette as he straightened.
You have arrived.
I have awaited you.
I find that you were not part of the bargain I struck, and I do so desire the complete set.
He threw the cigarette down and ground it into the sand, the flower petals, whatever, inside the circle. I didn't move my pistol from him. Buddy, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm just trying to get home.
I presume you reside in Hidden Creek?
Yeah.
It is no longer here, as you can see. I won it, just tonight. A card game with the mayor. I have yet to ponder what I will do with this gathering of hovels you call home, but I am positive I can discover something to amuse me with. I've been distracting myself with a few of the residents, of course.
Dark eyes flicked to me.
But I desire the complete set. Everyone who resides here. I want them all to belong to me.
I stood my ground. You've gotten to the counter now to tell me what the hell you're talking about. The man's smile sprouted on his face like some sort of weed.
Your mayor was quite the betting man. He liked high stakes. Blackjack was his game of choice.
He bet the town. He shrugged.
And now, it's mine.
I glanced around, never taking my eyes off him for more than a second. No. No way. I've heard of some fellas that won businesses in betting games, but that don't make the business disappear. He shrugged again.
I suppose when you're human it works that way. Now, would you like your city back? I do so enjoy games, you see, and I can be a fair sport. If you'd like, we can make it a little wager. If you win, you get your city back. But if I win, well, I get the complete set.
That grin grew wider.
I get you.
Why don't I just shoot you and take the city back? He laughed. The sucker laughed at me. And then that smile again.
Well played, sir. Perhaps you should. Perhaps it would be proper for you to seek revenge and slay me with your mighty weapon. But perhaps you might consider how you already shot me 3 times, and all you have done is damage my wardrobe.
He pointed to the 3 holes in his shirt.
Surely you wounded this body. But I am not knit together as you are. So yes, sir, you may shoot me all you wish, and then we may make our wagers, if you're willing. Or you may ride from here, never to see your beautiful city that you have sacrificed so much for. Ah, yes, Malcolm Sidwell. I can scent the blood on your soul, like my mistress's pie in the evening. But come, sir. A wager.
He knew my name. This bastard knew my name somehow. And he stole the town.
But my eyes landed on the holes in his shirt.
Now, I'd met plenty of men with bullet holes in their clothes, but those men tended to wear shirts they'd stripped from the dead. I spot black holes in the flesh beneath. This was no man, whatever he was. But this is where Hidden Creek was supposed to be. This was my home. This is where Bess waited for me. And all that was left was a circle of saguaros. Hell, I lost my soul long ago. Was one more game with the devil. Bess was worth it. Get your head in the game. Don't think about her. Just focus on this, just like when you're on the job. Just do the job and get paid, like anything else. Just this time, you're getting paid with your home. And if you lose, you're just as dead as in any other job.
A wager, you say?
Indeed, sir. He tilted his head. Choose your game. I find that it adds excitement when I don't choose.
I rolled the thought around my head a moment. Well, I'm only good at two things. Killing. Drinking. You already showed me that I can't kill you. Well, that leaves drinking. That slow smile again.
And he nodded. A fine competition to select. Now, do you have a drink of choice? I'm afraid my usual favorite might prove strong for your simple palate.
I raised an eyebrow. Now, I'd been in cities where they served smooth sake and good port, but they never much appealed to me. Give me a good beer or a good whiskey and I was happy. But challenge me. Say that something was too strong for me? That rubbed me the wrong way. And what do you usually drink?
He shrugged. I imbibe deeply of fermented nightmares, a finely concoction of losing one's teeth and centipede legs simply make me giddy. But alas, such distilled spirits cannot exist on this plane.
I ran my tongue over my chompers. I hated those nightmares. All right, whiskey then. Straight up. Whoever can hold their liquor best wins. The man in black gave a slight nod.
Agreed.
I held out my hand. And he stared at it, nose wrinkling just a little.
Why do you humans insist on corporeal touch to seal agreements made in good faith?
I don't agree to nothing with a man that don't shake on it. And can't trust a man like that.
And can I trust a man like you, Malcolm Sidwell?
His eyes shifted from my hand and up to my eyes.
A man who shoots his prey in the back. Your scent sings treason. I can smell symphonies of it. The brave hunter returning to his town with resources to share for his woman. What would she think if she knew who you were, I wonder?
I protect my own. That's all that matters. Now shake on it, or I'll ride out of here. Maybe shoot you a few more times before I go. He sighed.
I must complete my collection.
And he put his hand in mine. His skin was soft like a banker's. Never liked bankers. They always think about numbers instead of people. And we shook.
Now, I suppose I must conjure some of your whiskey.
He raised one of his banker hands and indicated the space behind me. I turned to look. There, the saloon stood. Right where it ought to be. Oil lamp light flickered through the wax paper windows. My eyes raked the landscape around it. No other buildings. Bennett's was still missing. No houses. Not even one where a woman should be waiting for me. Just a circle of saguaros. Just a full moon. Just a saloon. Come, come, I do have other obligations to attend to before the silver gates close.
The man in black led the way through the swinging door. I took a deep breath. Jacob still stood outside the saguaro circle. I didn't blame him. But I shook on it. Even to a banker, I'd keep my word. Wonder how much a devil can drink. Probably more than me. But at least I could still shoot him. Even if I couldn't kill him. Maybe it would make me feel better when I lost. Wait. I could still shoot him. I smiled. Yeah, maybe there was a way out of this yet. I marched into the saloon. And then I stopped. Before the bar stood Harold. He wore his red flannel shirt like always, no matter how hot it got. He had his stupid mustache, that little thing that made him look like he might have just started puberty. His eyes were as bloodshot as always. His shirt lay open, and instead of nipples, he had two taps. And as I took him in, my eyes fell on his boots. Well, where his boots should be. He didn't have any feet. His legs grew together somewhere halfway down his shins until what rooted into the ground was a saguaro. Mel? His glazed eyes passed over me. Are you home? I thought there were just girls here. Girls. He smiled. The man in black strode behind the bar and plucked up a mug, returning to the bartender. I desire a repast. He turned on one of the taps sticking out of Harold's chest. Thick blood oozed out of him. He groaned at first as if a girl were pleasuring him, and then as if he were a saguaro bending in a dust storm. His knees knit together until he was more saguaro below the waist than man. I win. Everyone goes back to normal, I asked. The devil turned to me, taking a deep glug of blood. He sighed. Should you be the victor of our wager, you may do what you wish with your people. The town shall come to you. What is the term? As is. Ah, so much better than any of your so-called liquor. He licked his lips. All right, Harold. Is everyone like this? Is everyone like this? Oh, no. The owner of your general store has scorpion tails instead of fingers. He's currently trying to make love to his wife, who, of course, greatly fears him. Meanwhile, she is slowly melting, making it rather difficult for her to run away. Her legs keep bending in awkward ways. It is quite a comical turn, if I do say so myself. Oh, and there's a woman who wears a blue dress that is slowly becoming younger and younger. She knows she's growing younger. She knows she is forgetting her life minute by minute, hour by hour. I do believe she has forgotten you by now. She knows she has lost something of great value, but can't fathom what it could be. I wonder how much younger she will be before we complete our wager. I growled. Pacing back to the bar, I grabbed out two handfuls of shot glasses and a bottle of whiskey, slamming them on the bar. Come here. I need to make this right. If you say so. Or perhaps I will win. He smiled. I believe I will hold my drink better than you will. I set my pistol on the bar and poured the first shot. Drink. We slammed back those first drinks. Heat coated my throat. Harold never had good whiskey. But I was used to the bad stuff.
The man in black grimaced.
How barbaric. Pour another.
Second.
Poor Bennett. Your general store owner has caught his wife, but his scorpion fingers have pushed right through her skin. Her scream sounds like she's eaten too much pudding, but it's just her vocal cords melting. Delightful.
A third. Felt my brain slide ever so slightly in my skull. It was that good feeling of not caring. The man in black blinked at me. Harold groaned again.
Girls, Mal, the girls.
Needles grew from his upper lip instead of hair. The man held up his fourth shot.
Oh, look at that. I guess she's not a woman anymore.
Just a girl.
Pity.
I guess she could still be waiting for you, but she'd have to call you her father now. I growled and slammed back my fourth drink. He slipped his back.
Oh, she's crying, trying to write down everything she remembers, but it's flowing past her so fast. Faster than a man's blood pours out of him when you shoot him.
We took our fifth shots. The room was spinning ever so slightly. He raised an eyebrow.
Care to call it quits? It would be terrible if you blacked out before I could have any fun with you.
He paused.
It's so hard to hold a pencil in fingers that are that little, isn't it? Poor girl. Have you ever seen someone age themselves back before birth? It's a horrid sight. Very slippery.
I slammed back a six. He shrugged and answered in kind. Harold held his hands up as if they were saguaro arms. The walls of the saloons writhed with spiders. The moon was too bright. Seventh. Black danced at the edges of my vision.
I do believe you fight a losing battle, my friend. I have won this wager.
I held up an eighth shot in my left hand. Like hell. Let's make this better. You win, you don't just get me, but I'll hunt down whoever else you might want.
The words sloshed in my mouth and in my mind. I had to get this right.
I'm a good hunter. You know it.
I could use another agent for when the Silver Gates are closed.
He considered. I pressed on. But I win. Everyone goes back to normal. Just like that. From before the mayor got stupid.
Your mayor never has been blessed with intelligence.
Before he made that bet. He nodded.
For your boldness and your hopelessness, I will accept this addition to our wager.
I plucked up my pistol and shot him right in the gut. He rolled his eyes.
You cannot harm me.
Maybe not.
But I just won.
He raised an eyebrow.
I am not inebriated in the least.
Maybe not, but you ain't holding your liquor. I pointed at the hole in his stomach.
Whiskey flowed from it.
His eyes narrowed.
Clever.
He looked up at the moon, now just above the horizon.
And the silver gates close. You have won yourself a town. In 1 month, when the silver gates open again, I request a rematch.
The ground seemed to pitch up around me. One too many drinks, I'm sure. Sure about it?
Just make everything right again.
Done.
And with that, the man in black vanished,
and I passed out.
This has been the Night Terrors Podcast, created and narrated by Dana Tyler Bolton. All stories are produced with a Creative Commons share-alike license or with written permission from the author themselves. The rights to all stories remain with the author, and the audio presented in this podcast is not to be used for reproduction. As always, thank you for listening. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and review, and we'll see you soon.